Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, April the 12th, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 2, page 19, and there is a solution, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with, of necessity, there will have to be, and we'll be reading this one paragraph only, ending on the top of page 20, ending in how we may help meet their needs. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Kathy Jo P. for the 12 steps, A.J. N. for the 12 traditions, and readers of our text are Don B., Julie E. B., and the mystery person for our backup. Our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M., and our announcements will be by Penny C. Our share ID for yesterday's Thursday, April 11th, 2019, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,774. That's 12774. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, April 12th, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,776. That's 12776. The OA Pre-Emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to read our 12 steps. Kathy?
Good morning, Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis in St. Louis. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P., for your service. And now we'll hear from A.J. N. of our 12 Traditions of OA. A.J.?
Good morning, AJN, compulsive overeater in Ohio, recovered just for today. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than a promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you, AJN, for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep this sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted, and that does include your mute button, so please do use star 1 to mute and unmute. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 19 in the fourth paragraph, there is a solution, and the comments will be on that one paragraph only, beginning with, of the necessity there will have to be, and it ends on page 20, top of page 20, ending in how we may help meet their needs. And now I will ask Dawn B. to read the text. Dawn?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. We have concluded to publish an anonymous volume. Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. Of necessity, there will have to be discussion of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. We are aware that these matters are, from their very nature, controversial. Nothing would please us so much as to write a book which would contain no basis for contention or argument. We shall do our utmost to achieve that ideal. Most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful to others. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend on our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. That's a beautiful and crucial paragraph. I love that paragraph because it essentially summarizes what my work is to be now as a recovered compulsive overeater. I wanted to direct us to page 570 in the back of the fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. In the first paragraph there, it also emphasizes where it says, they help others with similar problems In this atmosphere, the alcoholic often overcomes his excessive concentration upon himself. Learning to depend upon a higher power and absorb himself in his work with other alcoholics, he remains sober day by day. The days add up to weeks, the weeks into months, and into years. That's fantastic. And it just reminds me and helps us focus on what it is that our work is to be every single day as a recovered person. In order to continue being recovered, I need to address my main problem, which is selfishness and self-centeredness. And I do this by the help of my Creator and by the help of those around me that I am called to be of service to. Every day in my morning prayers and step 11 prayers, I say, "My Creator, I ask that you show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. God, what can I do today for the person who is still sick?" And I carry that with me throughout the day. I remind myself, since my main problem is the selfishness, self-centeredness, I constantly remind myself that I'm no longer running the show. And I say, "God, please help me to serve other people, serve those around me." And in doing so, I save my very life, as it says in this paragraph today. Our very lives depend on our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. This is a huge thing for me, doing the steps most recently, that just came to life for me. I was asked by my sponsor to make outreach calls. And what I didn't realize is that I'd always, been afraid of the phone, the huge weight of the phone, but started doing that, calling newcomers, calling recovered people. And it just opened my eyes to what a huge gift that was, and how when I would start to feel shaky with the food at any time, I would make a call, do an outreach call, and amazingly enough, I would just receive such an amazing gift that it would just bring me back into a sense of just being at peace and at one with my higher power. And so I thank other people, those around me, for helping me to be in this recovery, because without service, I would not be able to remain to be recovered. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Dawn B. And so thank you for getting us started. So again, we're on Chapter 2, There is a Solution, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with, "Of necessity, there will have to be." And so who would like to comment on this one paragraph?
Wendy M.
Jackie H.
Robin
H.
B.
Robin B. Is that B as in boy?
V as in Victor.
V as in Victor. Thank you, Robin. Who else would like to
AJN?
AJN.
Did you get Wendy M?
I sure did, Wendy.
Okay.
And who else would like to share? Have a couple more slots here. Jump on in. The water's warm.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Julie E.B.
And I heard,
well, let Patty go ahead.
I heard somebody else, but we can pick you up on the second round. Okay? All right. So I have Wendy M, Jackie H, Robin B, AJN, Freya H, and Julie E B. Wendy M, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. I recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Great to be back on the line, and I've missed all of you very much. And thank you, Sherry, for your service. So I want to just mention two things here. Tolerance of other people's shortcomings. Oh, my God. Boy, did I take stock of your shortcomings. That was almost a hobby, really, of mine. Right? I found evidence. I probably took photographs of your shortcomings so I could be right and you could be wrong. And that was a really narrow place to be. It's a really small place to be. And it turns out that it's exhausting to have to be right and have other people be wrong. And it's all based on what am I getting rather than what am I giving, right? And lately, I've been in a lot of self, right? And that's okay. I've been doing a lot of self-care, and that's good. But I called someone yesterday in the program, and she said, Wendy, death of self. And I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot that one. I've been in self. I've been in what can you give me? It's what can I get? What can you give me? And, you know, have I talked about me enough? And I got to tell you, being in self is exhausting, and it's a huge relief to not be in self. It's a huge relief to think, how can I serve the other person? It frees me up from the bondage of myself, right? And it's just, I love these words because they're so true. It's been my experience that when I get out of the debating society, when I get out of finding evidence that you're not satisfying my needs, when I get out of self and into other, I'm free. I'm with God. I'm light as a feather. And when I'm in self, it's really heavy. It's really, really heavy. And I guess the last thing that I want to say is that that sometimes it feels like I have to get. But as somebody said earlier on the line this morning, it's like there's plenty of love to go around. There's plenty of ideas and concepts and opinions to go around. There's so much room. It's endless, especially love. It's endless. I don't have to go hoard mine because there's only a little bit around. There's a ton of light out there. And once I connect with my higher power, I am good to go. I am so ready to give. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Wendy M. And Jackie H., you're followed by Robin V. Jackie?
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Sherry. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. I have to piggyback on that last beautiful share. I did, as I was reading this morning, and I absolutely love the synchronicity of how God works in my life. Because I have a spiritual path, and I do read other spiritual books, other than the big book. And in my reading this morning, it talked about this very thing about to have, give everything in order to get, give everything. And, you know, my personality, not my essence. My essence is of course beautiful and perfect as God created me. But my personality, this personality that I made up, has always been about what can I get out of this? And I'm right and you're wrong. And so how can I convince you that you are wrong and that I am right? So no wonder I ate, right? No wonder I drank and did all the other stuff, because that's a horrible, horrible place to be. And it's not the way that this universe works. When I was trying to get so much and convince so much, I was just coming from such a place of scarcity. But today, thank you, God, for this program. Thank you, God, for God. Thank you for my fellows. I get to see things differently, and I get to change my mind. And this morning, as I was in my meditation, I was thinking about what would it look like to give all, to give everything to everybody consistently, not more to you because you're prettier or more to you because I like you better, but across the board, give total appreciation to all my brothers. How would that look? That would be a beautiful thing, right? And I also thought, how would it look to tirelessly give? Because I have these things in my head that I have to have some kind of balance. I have to take really good care of myself so that I can give more. I'm starting to question that belief a little bit, because whenever I am giving all to everybody, it depends on my motive. If my motive is to look good, or I'm doing it so I'll be a better 12-step person, I'm doing it to get more, then I am going to tire. But if I truly, truly am giving out of the abundance that I truly am, then I am going to be doing it tirelessly. And that's a thought I hadn't thought about before. And so that's kind of where I'm hanging today, to see one moment one day at a time, to honestly give from a good, pure motive. And I really believe that the abundance is there, and I'm not going to uh-huh. run out of steam. So, yeah. And when I thought about it, I have to say this real fast. What if I did that? My first thought that came to my mind, well, what about me? What about my needs? And so I get to see that underlying there, and I get to ask God to take me above that. So anyway, with that, I will pass. Have a wonderful Friday. I'll love you.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Robin V., you're followed by AJ N. Robin?
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you for your service today. This is Robin V., recovered in Massachusetts, and this is my first time sharing. So I'm feeling a bit nervous and very supported. I felt called to share, and I was really delighted when I saw that it was this paragraph, because it helped me to think about what happened just 3 months ago when I became recovered. And so this is a share for those of us newly recovered. I remember my sponsor saying to me, like, we would be in the present working, and then she'd be looking ahead and telling me what was to come. And at some point she started saying, soon you'll be ready to sponsor. And I was like, what? Like, that just was not even a thought on my mind, because in my mind, sponsors were like people that had, you know, 20 years recovery and solid programs and weren't new. And it really surprised me. And my whole body would contract every time she would say it. I would get so nervous. And then I started talking more about it with her and with some other people. And I started realizing what Harlan actually said yesterday on the call, is that this isn't an 11-step program. This is a 12-step program. And that the purpose actually is to share my experience and whatever strength I have to offer. And somebody said to me something like, you can't afford not to sponsor. It was in a greater context, but those were the words. And I realized, and now that I am sponsoring, I realize how much I'm getting, how much I'm receiving, how much my experience, how much my spirituality is deepening, and how much I'm receiving. And so the other piece I wanted to add is that I thought I was in a place of giving in my life, like giving so much to work that I really love and giving to my children that I love, but I didn't realize how much my life was all revolved around me and how I was feeling and what I was doing and, you know, et cetera. And the giving was tiring. And I guess the speaker before just said the word tirelessly, which I love, because as I give in this program, as I respond to people's requests, as I put out my own, as I sponsor, the giving is it feels like such incredible freedom and joy. And I'm receiving so much. And I'm really, really grateful for this program. So glad to be here. And thank you for the time. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Robin V. And AJ N. You're up, followed by Freya H. AJ?
Good morning, AJ.
AJ in Ohio. Really, really great share. It's kind of made me forget what I was going to say. But what I thought of the line, our very lives, the next problem, drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. When I was deep in my disease, I struggled so bad with depression. And I remember reading somewhere that the best way to get out of depression is to help other people, think about other people. But for the life of me, I could not do that until I went through the steps and, first of all, realized that I was selfish and self-centered. I had no idea that I was a selfish, self-centered person, and that, you know, I wanted to run the show. And just the steps to unblock, just the clear-cut directions, and then putting me into a position of sponsoring, just like the previous share, that has just been amazing. It's almost... I like crave, like, it's like, oh, I've got to sponsor. I've got to work with these people, because you get so much more out of it than I ever got when I was being sponsored. It's just amazing. But yeah, just like I said, I had read that years ago about the best way to get out of depression, but, you know, I needed somebody to take me by the hand, step by step, to teach me how to do that. And it's been amazing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, AJ.
Excuse me, I have a question.
I'm sorry. We're in the middle of the meeting. You're welcome to ask some questions after our meeting.
I just wanted to ask which page we're on.
Sure, we're on page 20
oh,
in chapter
you.
2 on in paragraph 4. Okay, so let's see. Freya H., you're up next, followed by Julie E.B.
Good morning. It's Freya H., compulsive eater and bulimic, recovered in Colorado. Grateful for the opportunity to share and to hear everybody else share. And I guess the thing that I just wanted to speak about was just how incredibly practical this is. I feel like this paragraph is addressing the practical necessity that, yes, we're going to bring up things that are, by their nature, controversial, and then an explanation of why, you know, that they are, you know, that we need to include it. And that it's, for me, it's, you know, there's part of me that thinks, oh, can we avoid the controversy because we just want to smooth everything over and everybody can be happy and comfortable, and we get to address some things that are maybe going to make people uncomfortable. You know, maybe people, I've heard so many people say that they, you know, heard things in the room that made them, you know, that made them leave for a long time, and that I don't, you know, that trusting that they're, if they need to come back, they'll come back, and that's something they get to work through. But just the practical, I also love the practical suggestion. It's not saying that we should have tolerance for other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions and attitudes because that will make us better than other people or because that's the right thing to do and you should do it. And, you know, it's not coming from a top-down place, but it's saying, we do this because we found this to be most effective, you know, and that's what, you know, that's how we recover. And then that last line is a reminder that our very lives depend upon our constant thought of others. So if that's not practical, I don't know what is. It's saying, oh, by the way, you know, the best reason first, if we don't do this, we are going to drink, and for us to drink is to die. And I know for me, it took a very long time for me to really accept that, you know, that the real seriousness of my illness, because the physical manifestations didn't seem that extreme, but I finally became convinced that it's the mental piece that is where that's where I really reside. I reside in my mind, and it was not fun. It was not fun to be in this disease and to be in my head. And that I would live, you know, living in restless, irritable discontent was not how I wanted to live. So, and that the reality that a constant thought of others, I used to squirm when I heard that. You know, I used to squirm that we should give in a way that was inconvenient or, you know, like not, that wasn't going to fit into our schedule or wasn't going to allow us to have a certain kind of balance, because I thought I needed, you know, I thought I needed to get my needs met first. And the paradox is that I surrender my needs. I say, God, I don't know what I need, but I trust that God does. And then God does meet my needs, not my wants, but my needs. And the result is living with such, you know, such a freedom and peace in my heart. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
And thank you, Freya H. And before we hear from Julie B., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 19, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, of the necessity there will have to be, and we're going to finish on top of page 20. The paragraph finishes there. And who would like to share after Julie B.? Please get ready to line up. All right, Julie B., love to hear from you. Julie?
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado, this morning. I'm really grateful this morning.
Julie, we can't hear you. Julie, star 1 to unmute again.
Hello?
Now we can, now
hear
I
me?
Can hear you, Julie.
Okay. Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado, and I give thanks today for my entire abstinence, and that even though life is not quiet, my food is quiet, and it doesn't call to me, and my mind is quiet and able to let me focus on this. I guess I thought of this paragraph not just in terms of this second part of my recovery of dealing with my character defects, but also of just how hard it was when I was trying to get out of the food. Like some other people have said, I'm a selfish, self-centered person, although I thought of myself as doing everything for everybody else. But so anytime there's a discussion of something medical, psychiatric, social, or religious that I disagree with, I had another reason to not belong. And I have a, you know, certain medical condition, so I can't do this. Maybe I have a certain psychiatric condition, so part of this is hard for me. I have difficulties in social areas. I have conflicting views on religion. And so I was always identifying out when I was in the food. There was always one more reason that I didn't fit with you. But this is saying that we encounter, life does not get quiet. Life continues to be controversial. These issues continue to be complicated. But the program is in the book is meant to be quiet and simple. And so, you know, even knowing, I think with a certain humility, that that has not been accomplished in this book, because certain things come up that, boy, factions and groups have broken off for, we shall do our utmost to achieve that ideal. And for me, when I'm looking into this book with a sense of tolerance and love around shortcomings and viewpoints, a respect for someone else's opinion and attitude, this is what makes me both useful to others and to ourselves. And this is why my life depends on it. My life depends on thinking about others and the effect my word has on others. And the effect that even my experience on trying to make my experience the only way one can work these steps, that could affect someone's very life. And, I know of people who have pronounced so-and-so is not ready to go through the steps, or this person has this block. That's right. Not my job as a sponsor. I like to just take people where they are and hope to keep loving them. Sure, following the instructions in this book about what is and isn't helpful, but love and tolerance needs to be my code. Love is what changes us, not the fear and resentment and harsh self-talk that we did for years and years. That's my belief. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie B. And so now I'm going to take some more names to here on page 19, paragraph 4. Who would like to share?
Penny C.
Lisa J.R.
Penny C. Lisa J.R.
Sherry B.
Was that Terry B. as in Baker?
Sherry B. as in David.
I'm sorry. Sherry B. Boy, I heard that all wrong. Sorry about that, Sherry. Did I hear Allie?
Yes, Allie A.S.
Allie J.S.?
Allie S. Just S like.
Allie S. Okay. Allie S.
Leia S.
Leia S. And I'll take one more. One more. Jump on in. The water's warm. Take one more.
Hi, I'm Virginia. I'm from Northern Virginia. I'd love to share.
Okay, Virginia, and your initial of your last name, please.
S.
S as in Sam?
Yeah, this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll take you. Thank you, Virginia. So I have Penny C., Lisa J.R., Sherry B., Allie S., Leia S., and Virginia S. Penny C.?
Good morning. Thank you so much for leading. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. most sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions are attitudes which makes us more useful to others. When I heard this read earlier on the earlier meetings this morning, it was like it was new to me, this sentence. Like so many times I've studied this book with others. This is probably the 12th time going through the book on a phone meeting or in a group, and I don't know how many times one-on-one, but I'm sure some days that the, you know, they snuck in and they sneaked in another sentence. This reminds me that we've got to continue through the steps, because not only do I realize that I am more tolerant of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints, and I respect their opinions and attitudes so much more than I ever did, I'm also compassionate about what their thinking is, and even if it's not like mine. And how did that come about? By continuing to do the steps. I know we're not near the fourth step yet, but doing the fourth step and then, you know, looking at the people I'd harmed gave me so much more insight into other people. And, you know, if I judged them and wasn't tolerant of other people's way of acting and thinking, then, you know, I better look at myself. And that's what the steps had me do. After so many years of being so, so judgmental
Penny, you're kind of wobbly there. The sound is wobbly.
Is this any better?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. After so many years of not truly respecting other people's opinions and attitudes, oh, wow. You know, I can see my own progress this morning because, and it's all because I did what the book tells me and what the third step's commitment is, that I'll follow through with the rest of the steps, and with the help of God, I'll complete the steps and I'll live a different life with different attitudes and be so much more useful to God and my fellows. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. Lisa J.R., you're up, followed by Sherry B. Lisa?
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, Maryland. Grateful for this meeting and everybody being on. Wow, I love what I've been hearing. You know, love and tolerance indeed is our code. You know, we have escaped shipwreck, as Bill tells us, you know, from steerage to captain's table. When I'm in that lifeboat after escaping death, you know, I don't care that the person next to me has a different skin color, different religious practice. I'm just grateful and united forever with them that I escaped and averted destruction. So, yeah, so we get going. We do our fourth step. And it's been, you know, it's been my experience. And it's funny, a lot of people talk about people bailing on the fourth. I find they bail on the 12th, you know. And I love what somebody said earlier about identifying out, because that's what I did. I was cynical. I was terminally unique early on, and I found ways to identify out. I mean, there were, you know, hundreds and thousands of reasons I could identify out if I really didn't want to do the work. So I balked also. But then, you know, when I did the steps through the big book with a sponsor sitting down and shining her lantern over the text, wow, what a paradigm shift. I realized then that I had spent so much time, you know, I was using that excuse of father time. Gosh, I'm working all these jobs. I'm busy all the time. I can't do that. Time. Excuses. But I'll tell you, when I really thought about it, I woke up in the morning and before my feet hit the floor, I was obsessing over how I could avoid compulsively overeating. And that didn't last long, because then I began to compulsively overeat, and I obsessed all day long about what I was going to eat, what I wasn't going to eat, how was I going to stay abstinent. It was all about me. And I love that first miracle in the big book when Bill was laying in the bed and he said, you know, instead of suddenly the thought dawning on him, he could mix whiskey with milk or, you know, have a cocktail for dinner. The thought dawned on him that surely there were hundreds out there that would want what I got. So we got out of self, and that's just the beginning. I'm so grateful for every wonderful and privileged for every wonderful person that has shared their experience with me. All the sponsees have taught me multitudes more than I have ever been able to shed on their recovery. And with that, I will gratefully pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. And Sherry B., you're up, followed by Allie S. Sherry? Star one to unmute, Sherry.
Can
Are
I
you
be
there,
heard?
Sherry? You there, Sherry B?
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, yes, we can hear you now. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm Sherry B. from Chicago. This is the first time I'm sharing on this meeting, and I'm very thankful to be here. Something that I underlined was most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcoming and viewpoints and a respect for others' opinions or attitudes, which make us more useful to others. And I was very happy to hear this because, you know, just yesterday with my sponsor, I realized that this is where I was and how she bestowed this very action onto me as a newcomer in the program. And I just, I'm so thankful for that. And somebody also mentioned earlier that I have been doing everything possible in my mind to ensure that I don't fit into this program. I don't fit in here. I don't fit in with those people who have these ideals or that ideals, or my medical issues make me not feel good, or my depression makes me not be eligible. I'm so different. And what I'm hearing today on everybody's experience, strength, and hope is that I am not different. I do belong here, and I can only pray for the guidance and the experience of others in this program to really show me the way. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sherry B., and glad to hear you today. Allie S., you're up, followed by Leah S. Allie?
Yes, hello. This is Allie S. from Cologne, Germany. Can I be heard?
Yes, I can, Allie. Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Allie?
Okay. Yes.
I can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, I'm Allie S. from Cologne, Germany, and I'm a compulsive overeater and sober alcoholic. And this is my second time in this meeting, and it's the first time sharing. And the text that we read, it reminded me also a lot of service. And it all made sense. Like when I think about going to a meeting, doing service, when I pray for people from my meeting, then everything gets better. And yeah, just some of those days I thought, I would like to get a good abstinence and get stronger in the program so I could have something to share and help others as I have been helped. And yeah, it's just amazing. When I came to the 12-step program in AA first, there were people helping me, and my first sponsor and all my other sponsors, and they helped me and they changed me. And I'm far from perfect, and I'm far from being super recovered, but I'm working on it. And you know, it's this paragraph just showed me I need to put my program, I always say put my sobriety first, and I need to put my program and the meetings first. And yeah, just going to a meeting sometimes is service and sharing. I'm early on in my recovery in OA, and I'm looking forward for what's to come. And yeah, that's all. Thank you.
And thank you, Allie. And we're glad you're here. Leah S., you're up, followed by Virginia S. Leah S., star one to unmute, please.
Thank you so much. This is Leah S., very grateful and recovered in Brooklyn. And I'm going to also piggyback on the sentence. Most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions are attitudes which makes us more useful to others. Now, you know, in the previous page, on page 18, they have in italics, anytime you have something in italics, it shouts, the ex-problem drinker who is properly armed with facts about himself can win the confidence of another. Now, you know, I didn't have a problem in my life because all I had was that I was overweight, you know. I just got to lose the weight. But you know what? I've been trying to lose the weight my entire life. And here I am already 60 years old, and I'm still going at it, fighting at it, and trying to come out ahead of the game. And what is it? What is the secret? How am I still abstinent 5 years now in a row? How do I go through holidays, parties, occasions, and just not even want the food? How do I speak to people who I didn't really like and who I always wanted to avoid? How do I do that? I do that by having a little empathy of other people. It means I am agreeing to disagree. And that comes from, the only way it comes from is through these 12 steps, by going through the fourth step in intensity and doing these 10 steps and doing the ninth step and really meaning it, not just doing it, but really meaning it from your heart. And it is so remarkable that I am now in touch with people that I used to despise. And not only do I have empathy, but I am really giving and tolerant and respectful of their own being. I am Leah, and you are you. And that's it. That's the bottom line. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Leah S. And Virginia S., you have about 2 minutes. Virginia?
Yes, hi. I'm glad I only have 2 minutes. So my name is Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic from Northern Virginia. And I just want to say that I have to start over in general with my thinking and realize how little I do know. I, for so long, thought, I don't know, I think our mind is so complex, or at least mine is. I'm not unique in this, but I just don't understand how to find the balance. And I think I have been told, no, you're doing this wrong. No, you're doing too much of this and too little of that. And it's just making me crazy. My own doing. So I just need to slow down, and I'm afraid of my own behavior at this point. And it's just kind of making me dizzy. I don't know where to start. I've tried so many times to work the steps, and I keep throwing it away. Anyway, I have over a year of recovery. Well, I have over a year of not throwing up and over a year of not drinking, but I still just can't seem to stick to the plan as far as food is concerned. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Virginia S. And that's about all the time we have for sharing today. I'd like to take the time to thank Team Friday. Kathy Jo P. read our 12 steps. AJN read our 12 traditions. Don B. read our text today. And Julie B. is going to read page 164. And our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M. And our announcements are Penny C. Thank you, everybody, for a wonderful, wonderful meeting today. So now we're going to close on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and ending with Keep You Until Then. Julie?
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.